Father, we thank you for your grace that extends to us, the amazing love that you have for us. Amazing because we cannot even fathom, cannot get our minds around it. Amazing because we are so undeserving of it, and yet you continue to pour it out upon us. God, we thank you for that goodness that surrounds us, that continues to be the strength that we are invited to rely on, moment to moment, day to day. Thank you, God, for the way that you continue to be at work in us and continue to not only encourage and knit us together, but you give us opportunities to not only receive from you, but opportunities to allow your light to shine through us. Father, I lift up all those who this morning, that each of us have brought before you because they just weigh upon our heart. Those who we know, those who we care for, maybe those in our family who are struggling, going through a difficult time, waiting on results, struggling with a diagnosis, burdened with the medication or the treatment that they are having to receive. God, I pray for all those who are struggling because of their place in this world. They feel in a rut, either because of unable to get out or unwilling to change. God, I pray for those struggling with addictions, those struggling with mental health. Pray for those who are struggling within families with breakdown and wounds and hurts that don't seem to heal. Pray for those who find that distance that separates, not only by geography, but also just emotionally being separated from those, just day-to-day, seeking the very best for their families, and for all those families who now find their kids grown and find their kids in a distant place. Father, we pray for them as well. Lord, as we come this morning, we are celebrating with the new thing that seems to be going on here at New Life Church. We thank you for for Val and Amanda and their family. We thank you for the hope and the sense of direction we now can go as into this new school year. Lord, we lift him. We lift up all the kids. And Father, pray that this group would be something that would run against the norm, run against the statistics. That though the world seems to take such great delight in picking off the children of believers, Father, that you would continue to help us to provide an environment that grows them in a place where their faith becomes their own, and that they be able to weather the trials of life that come along. So, Father, for all those trials in life, God, whether it be starting of a new school year, initiating a new plan and a new direction, Father, struggling with what has gone on, I pray for those who are still overcome and dealing with the effects of the fire on Maui. Pray for Colleen's brother, Danny in particular, but for all those like him who have lost so much and now picking up those pieces, grateful for their life, grieving those they have lost, coming to terms with what the future holds. Father, we lift up all of those who struggle in places like that. God, we lift them to you. We ask that you would be their help and their strength. God, continue to help us to see beyond ourselves, beyond our specific location here. God, we want to celebrate with those who are celebrating. And so, Lord, I pray for John and Julie, Matt and Emily, and the new baby and their family. And we want to grieve with those who are grieving. Father, we pray for all those who struggle. Pray for Diana as she continues in this treatment. Bill, as he continues on with his treatments. Father, we pray for your help to be theirs in a way that would encourage and support, bring healing for them. Lord, I thank you also for the opportunity to gather today, to be reminded of your goodness, to stand here alongside of Steve and Elisa, and through them, God, stand alongside of these young children that the ministry there at Hope Mountain is designed to reach. God, we pray for healing. We pray for healing of their brokenness. We pray for restoration of their little hearts, their bodies, their minds. God, I pray for a world as broken as it is, that you would enable us to find those places where our light can shine into the darkness. So, Lord, we ask that you would continue to inspire all of us as we seek not only to draw nearer to your light, but to allow that light to flow through us. So, Lord, we give you this morning and thank you for the opportunity of being here and being here together. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, as I have alluded to, and I'm going to finally give a microphone over. Oh, he's got his own microphone. Look at that. Well, I'll put my microphone away. Stephen, come on up. This is Stephen Rao. And again, he has known some of you since elementary school. And others, you're going to get a chance to meet he and Lisa today and hear about this ministry that they're a part of, far away from here, but very near to our heart. And so, Stephen, please.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm testing. I'm getting the mic adjusted.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor John, yeah, for letting us come and share. We always appreciate being able to be here and are so thankful for this wonderful congregation, and appreciate the pastoral prayer from up front. It's just we survive because of prayer.
Yeah.
Our ministry survives because of prayer. And one of the things that we wanted to make sure that we did when we came back and visited churches was to encourage more prayer. So today's the message of today's title is Raising Up and Letting Go. And that's kind of what those of you that are parents do too. Mm. But it's kind of what God has called us to do in our ministry at Hope Mountain, raising up and letting go. And so the key verse of the ministry of Hope Mountain is, and Jesus took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them, found from Mark 10:16. And we take that to heart because we're called to be the hands and feet of Jesus to the children that God has placed in our care. And when Jesus did that and he had those children come up to him, I think he was alluding to more than just the children, because when he took the disciples, when God gave him his disciples, it was he took them in his hands, in his arms, and he cared for them and discipled them for 2 years before he had to let them go too. So let me tell you a story of one of the children at Hope Mountain. His name, well, any of the names I'm going to give aren't their real names because I can't share the real names. So we'll call him Wilbur. And Wilbur moved into Hope Mountain 3 years ago at the age of 15. And when he moved in, he couldn't read. He had barely been to school. We received him from a referral from a government temporary shelter. He had been rescued by the government, and his sisters were rescued. And before Hope Mountain existed, his sisters were sent to another facility where they are still at the facility being cared for. But before Hope Mountain, there was no place for him. So he stayed in that temporary government facility until Hope Mountain opened their doors in 2000, and he was referred to us, and he came and moved in. So his mother's in prison, and his family were victims. Him and his sisters were victims of sexual abuse and exploitation. During those 3 years, okay, he's now 18 years old. During those 3 years, he graduated from the 10th grade. So he went from not being able to read to graduating from 10th grade. He learned who God is. He learned who Christ is. He accepted Christ as his Savior. He learned to play the guitar, and he learns to write music and set scripture to music. Just an amazing thing. So when he turns 18, what happens to kids when they turn 18? So he is now our first, I can't call him a child because he's a young man now. He's our first person that we've received that is part of the transitional care program at Hope Mountain. And fortunately, he had a safe brother that we could move him in with. When they turn 18, children that move into Hope Mountain, we have to transition them out. And so he is now living with a brother, and he is going to be starting culinary school in Cebu City, and that is all being funded by a generous donor from California. And it's just an amazing story of transformation from him to being someone with no hope, to having found hope, to now having this potential future. So before I continue, you know, I got to set the timer on my watch, because if I don't, I could just keep talking and talking. Okay, because I set it for 20 minutes, and if I don't, I'm just going to keep going, and pretty soon it'll be 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So the mission statement of Hope Mountain Center is, the mission of Hope Mountain Center is to transform the lives of children who are victim survivors of sexual abuse and exploitation, to empower each child to move from helpless victim to thriving survivor. And Wilbur, he is on that path. So point one, love them. So just like any parent, when we receive these children, we don't get to raise them from birth. So we get them, and they have all kinds of trauma. They have all kinds of things that they come with. And so our job, and the job of our staff, who they're there every day, is to love them with unconditional love, show them care and compassion, and to make sure that they know the Word of God and point them to Jesus. And so that, in a nutshell, is what our staff does to the children. So the next slide. At Hope Mountain Center, the children live in a family-style setting where they are surrounded by an atmosphere of unconditional love, care, and compassion. And I just wanted to show you, that is, those are the homes at Hope Mountain. You can see, I had my little drone, I was flying it, so that you could see the houses, and you can see in the background, you can see the ocean. And there's islands that they can see. So it's a place that's not just healing and restoration, but it's a place of peace. These children have come from very urban settings and are taught and they're brought into this place that is extremely beautiful and peaceful and calm. And that's an important part of their healing and restoration. And we have the staff that's just amazing, that I'll talk about in a minute. But the next slide. We currently have 17 children living at Hope Mountain Center. There are 12 girls and 5 boys. And they are between the ages of 3 years old through 16. So there's 17 currently living there. And then we have Wilbur, who is living with his brother, but our staff is continuing to watch over and monitor him and guide him and direct him as he goes through this process of culinary school, which he is just starting. I think he just started this week or something. So our staff. So in that picture, that shows the children and our staff. The children have kind of their faces partially covered, because we don't show their whole faces. We don't show pictures of their faces because of the type of abuse that they experienced. But that's our staff. So we have this amazing staff of social workers. We have 2 social workers. We also have a lot of house parents. And we have a driver. And we have other administrative support staff that is all needed to help care for these children. And so our staff, just so that you know, they are trained. And it's not easy to find people that are ready to care for children that have such trauma. But our children, our staff, are trained in what's called trauma-informed care and then other important training. And we're very fortunate because there are other organizations in Cebu, in the Philippines, that provide that training to our staff for free. And if you've heard of International Justice Mission, some of you may have. They have people that do training. We have another foundation called Eleison Foundation. You probably haven't heard of that one. World Hope International. And these are all agencies that come and provide free training to our staff. Their job is to make sure that facilities like ours are fully prepared to care for children and let them go. So without our amazing staff and the training they receive, we wouldn't be able to care for the children at Hope Mountain. It just wouldn't be possible. So point two, prepare them. We're tasked with helping them heal while preparing them for an independent and healthy future. So many of the children have significant trauma in their lives. Many of them have severe PTSD, where there's some that just shut down. And it's very challenging and difficult. And so the healing and restoration process can be very messy at times. And I'm just very thankful for our staff and the training they receive and their ability to help care for those children during those times. And there's also professional counseling that our children receive from another organization for free. It's another nonprofit organization based in the United States, and they've developed a counseling center in Cebu that our children get to go to for free professional counseling. And that, just so you know, that organization is called Restore, and it's an amazing organization to provide counseling for our children. So I'm going to have Alisa come and talk about how we, part of the restoration process is helping the children find their strengths.
So one of the things that we do, Steve and I, is every Saturday we go up to Hope Mountain and we have an activity that we do with the children. It can be crafts or cooking or competitive games. They really like competitive games. They're very competitive. And so one of the things with the crafts, like most of the kids are involved. There's one I know she just hates coloring. So I try to figure out, well, how do I make an activity that will engage all of the children. So we do that. And then there's a girl that really hates cooking, so I've taken to bringing up my camera and having her take the pictures. So a lot of times you'll see on our Facebook page, I'll post pictures of cooking or the crafts or something going on. It's usually our, how old is she now? She's like 9 or 10 years old. She takes the pictures. We try to figure out like their personalities, their strengths, and try to see how they're doing. So like you can tell a lot, especially in the competitive games, about where they are emotionally. So it's kind of exciting sometimes when they get really ramped up to win a game. So but it also tells us which ones are leaders, which ones are followers, and how they are doing, like, emotionally.
And that's really, Wilbur, when he's going to start culinary school, it was through these activities that we found out that he loves to cook and he's good at cooking, and we could guide and direct him during those time we had him to doing culinary school. And so that was important.
So he's like the best person who cooks bacon ever. So I'm just saying, we would go up there and we go, oh, you know what? Today we're going to make BLTs or something. And it's like, oh, we'll get him to cook some bacon because the kid is really talented. So I'm going to tell you a story about one of the girls. She's 15 years old. She moved in with us last year. She's extremely traumatized and will go into episodes of PTSD at a moment's notice. So we just never know when she's going to have an episode. She did try going to school several times last year, and she would get up to the school and then she'd have a moment. So we had to have staff on campus at the Christian school that we have the children attending, and then we would sometimes have to drive her back to Hope Mountain so that she could decompress. And then once a few times that happened, we decided we would have her remain at Hope Mountain and try to learn how to read there. She does not know how to read. She's struggling really hard every day to try to come up to grade level with reading. In 3 more years, she's going to be 18, so she's going to have to be a part of our transitional program, and we're going to try to get her as far along in education as we can. Then I have a story of a girl named Ivy. She's 13 years old. She came to us 3 years ago. Right now, she's in ninth grade, and she's likely to graduate from senior high when she is 17 years old. She moved into, like I said, 3 years ago. She was so sweet and a part of a sibling group of three. She's doing very well in school. She wants to become a social worker, and she wants to become an attorney. She wants to help children just like her, and she's had to testify against her family in court and against her perpetrators. So her life, she has many struggles, but she's an overcomer.
So the first 15-year-old, we call her, well, her pseudonym is Daisy. So that's the name. And just a sweet young lady, but just has a long way to go. And this transitional care program, because she's going to turn 18 before we know it. And part of the transitional care program that we have to establish is in the city, Cebu City, which is about an hour from our facility, we're going to have to rent a home and have staff there where those children can live while they finish either high school, or some of them will be ready for university, like Ivy. She'll be ready to go to university when she's 17 years old. It's an amazing thing. So while they're living in the transitional care program, I think, so in 2 years, 2 years is kind of the critical time thing for us right now, because we have four girls that are 16 years old. And then we have, so in 4 years, yeah. In 4 years, we have to have this home rented in Cebu City, and we have to hire a staff that's going to be there to care for them, guide them, monitor them, because what are we going to do when they turn 18? We have children that need to continue their education, need to continue counseling. And so in 2 years, this transitional care home is going to become very, very important. So you've heard a little bit about Daisy. You've heard a little bit about Ivy. You've heard a little bit about Wilbur. And so those are three of the 17 children. Each one of those children are extremely important to us. We love all of them. And while we're in the United States, one of the things I've done is I've encouraged some of them, you know, write me a note, have our social worker take a picture of it and send it to me, and I will write you back. And so far I've had three of the girls doing that. And it's an amazing thing, because we have to develop real positive relationships with these children, because it's through these positive relationships that we build trust. These children have had their trust lost. Their families were generally the primary abuser. And when your family's a primary abuser, it's like, how do I trust anyone? How do I trust anyone from now on? So prayer. We came here to try to get people to pray. And so this slide, the next slide, there are several verses I want to talk about prayer because they're important to us. And in John 17, 13 through 19, it's when Jesus prayed for his disciples. Remember, Jesus was... He knew that it wasn't long until he was going to be crucified, and his time of discipling directly his 12 was going to come to an end. And so he had this amazing prayer that he did. And I'm going to read 13 through 19. I have just some highlights up there. So Jesus said, "I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of the joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of this world any more than I am of this world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. I take those words and I put our names in some of those places and the names of the children in some of those places. And if I go back to that, go back one slide. So I, verse 14, I have given them your word. That is one of the important things that we do at Hope Mountain, giving them their word, the word of God. 15, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. So like Wilbur, you know, we had him for 3 years, full time. Now we have him kind of part time, but we had to send him out, send him to live with a relative that we are pretty sure is safe, and send him into situations that were new to him. And we have to pray for him that he continue to follow God's path, that he gets connected with the church, which he said he wants to do, but we had to send him out. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. So that's one to make sure the truth is in their hearts. That's really what is going to carry them when they're not full-time living at Hope Mountain anymore. And as you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. We know we can't keep them, just like your own kids, right? Sometimes maybe you want to get rid of your kids, I don't know. But for us, we love these children so much, and we want them to succeed. And God gave them to us. And so we have to send them out to the world, and we have to do everything we can to prepare for them. And praying for them is something that we do all the time. Next slide. James gives instruction on prayer for the church. So you guys are a part of what we do. In James 5, 13 through 16, it says, is any among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is any among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with the oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So you guys, you have a role in what we do. If you're not, even if you're not there at Hope Mountain caring for the children, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And that's what we tell some of our children. We have one of the girls there. I gotta check my time, 2 minutes, ooh. One of the children there who is coming a long way. She's had a lot of struggles because she has to testify against her family, but she has become this prayer warrior. So when we came here, I always ask her to pray for us when we leave Hope Mountain and go back to our home. And she does it willingly. She jumps at the chance. Even though she's got all these struggles that may be just impacting what she's thinking on a day-to-day basis, she'll jump at the chance to come pray for us. And when she prays, I just feel filled with the knowledge and knowing that God is in her prayers. She still struggles in her life, but she is becoming an amazing prayer warrior. So the last verse I want to give you, Paul is thankful for prayer. And 2 Corinthians 1, 10 through 11, on him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. You guys are the many. And your prayers are being answered in the lives of these children. And we are thankful for your prayers. And so we have this call to action. What can you do? The first thing you can do in the back on our table, we have this prayer list. And it is a current prayer list, and we want you to come pick one up at the end of the service and take it with you and use it to pray for these things on here. There's also a sign-up list for our newsletter. What we're going to start doing is the people that are signed up for our newsletter, we're going to update this prayer list and send them new prayer lists. I don't know how often. Some, we don't have a set specific time. We're going to send out new prayer lists so that you're not just praying for this list, but new things as they come up. So point of action number one, get a prayer list. Point of action number two, sign up for our newsletter. Point number three, you can support the Ministry of Hope Mountain financially. We are volunteers. Okay, I have this amazing pension from Merced County that pays for all our own expenses. But the Ministry of Hope Mountain needs your financial support. And on this newsletter, there's ways you can learn how to, you can donate. And in 2 years, like I said, we need to have this transitional care home started. Pray about what your role may be in 2 years. 2 years seems like a long time from now, but it's short. It's fast. So put that in the back of your head and pray about that transitional care home and say, how can I be part of that ministry that's going to be so vital in the restoration of these children? And then the last thing, we have some short-term mission trips that are coming up. The one that we know that is scheduled is February 18th through March 4th of next year. And there's going to be another one that's being planned for the summer of 2024, but I don't have dates for that. So if that's something you may be thinking that you want to do, consider coming on a short-term mission trip, and God will change you at that mission trip. He will just change your future from going on that mission trip. So just want to show you one last slide. There's an aerial view of our three homes at Hope Mountain. That's where our children live. Just thank you for letting us share and being part, and we're happy after the service to come up and talk to us and share from your heart. Thank you so much, Pastor John and congregation. Thank you.